Klockner worried that Trevor might visit Trumbull one day before noon, then drop off the mail at some point along the way before returning to his office or his home. There was no way to intercept it while en route. It was imperative that he haul it back and leave it overnight so they could get their hands on it. He worried, but at the same time, Trevor was proving to be a late starter. He showed few signs of life until after his 2 o'clock nap. So when he informed his secretary that he was about to leave for Trumbull at 11 a.m., the rental across the street sprang into action. A call was immediately placed to Trevor's office by a middle-aged woman claiming to be a Mrs. Beltrone, who explained to Jan that she and her rich husband were in dire need of a quick divorce. The secretary put her on hold and yelled down the hallway for Trevor to wait a second. Trevor was gathering papers from his desk and placing them in his briefcase. The camera in the ceiling above him caught his look of displeasure at having been interrupted by a new client.
"She says she's rich,"
Jan yelled, and Trevor's frown disappeared. He sat down and waited. Mrs. Beltrone unloaded on the secretary. She was wife number 3. The husband was much older. They had a home in Jacksonville, but spent most of their time at their home in Bermuda. Also had a home in Vail. They'd been planning the divorce for some time. Everything had been agreed upon, no fighting at all, very amicable. Just needed a good lawyer to handle the paperwork. Mr. Carson had come highly recommended, but they had to act fast for some undisclosed reason. Trevor took over and listened to the same story. Mrs. Beltrone was sitting across the street in the rental, working from a script the team had put together just for this occasion.
"I really need to see you," she said
after 15 minutes of baring her soul.
"Well, I'm awfully busy,"
Trevor said, as if he were flipping pages in half a dozen daily appointment books. Mrs. Beltrone was watching him on the monitor. His feet were on the desk, his eyes closed, his bow tie crooked. The life of an awfully busy lawyer.
"Please," she begged. "We need to get this over with. I must see you today."
"Where's your husband?"
"He's in France, but he'll be here tomorrow."
Let's see," Trevor mumbled, playing with his bow tie.
"What's your fee?"
she asked, and his eyes flew open.
"Well, this is obviously more complicated than your simple no fault. I'd have to charge a fee of $10,000.
He grimaced when he said it, holding his breath for the response.
"I'll bring it today," she said. "Can I see you at 1?
He was on his feet, hovering over the phone.
"How about 1:30? He managed to say.
"I'll be there."
"Do you know where my office is?"
"My driver can find it. Thanks, Mr. Carson."
"Just call me Trevor," he almost said, but she was gone.
They watched as he wrung his hands together, then pumped his fist, gritted his teeth, and said,
"Yes!"
He'd hooked a big one. Jan appeared in the hall and said,
"Well?"
"She'll be here at 1:30. Get this place cleaned up a little."
"I'm not a maid. Can you get some money up front? I need to pay bills."
"I'll get the damn money."
Trevor attacked his bookshelves, straightening volumes he hadn't touched in years, dusting the planks with a paper towel, stuffing files and drawers. When he charged his desk, Jan finally felt a twinge of guilt and began vacuuming the reception area. They labored through lunch, their bitching and straining making for great amusement across the street. No sign of Mrs. Beltrone at 1:30.
"Where the hell is she?"
Trevor barked down the hall just after 2.
"Maybe she checked around, got some more references," Jan said.
"What did you say?"
he yelled.
"Nothing, boss."
"Call her,"
he demanded at 2:30.
"She didn't leave a number."
"You didn't get a number?"
"That's not what I said. I said she didn't leave a number."
At 3:30, Trevor stormed out of his office, still trying desperately to uphold his end of a raging argument with a woman he'd fired at least 10 times in the past 8 years. They followed him straight to Trumbull. He was in the prison for 53 minutes, and when he left, it was after 5, too late to drop off mail in either Neptune Beach or Atlantic Beach. He returned to his office and left his briefcase on the desk. Then, predictably, he went to Pete's for drinks and dinner.